I believe God has something special for us all. It's definitely a blessing and an honor. So we'll just go in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we first just want to give you glory and honor for this day, Lord. We thank you for your son, Jesus, Lord. And Lord, we don't take any opportunity that you give us for granted, Lord God, to come before you and for your people, Lord God. And truly, it's an honor and a privilege, Lord. And I'm asking, Lord God, just to have your way, Lord God, and just bless me, Lord, to speak as the Holy Ghost leading, guide, and directs, and give utterance, Lord God, that you will glorify and magnify, Father God, that people will see and hear you and not me, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And I pray that every ear that hears, that has an ear to hear and a heart to receive it, Lord God, and it's an encouragement to them, as it has been for me, Lord God. I ask you right now, Lord God, have your way in this meeting, Lord God, that your will be done, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So I will say it's the Lord actually gave me this word as we were sitting at the conference when Pastor Jesse had spoken that the Lord had laid it on his heart for me to bring forth the word. And it was interesting. I was sitting there and he gave it to me and I'm like, okay, Lord. And the word that he did give me is, did God not promise? One thing I learned is that it's amazing. I didn't realize when you're really doing an in-depth study of how many thousands and thousands and thousands of promises there are in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. It was just amazing, and it was just so profound. Like, I'm like, Lord, how do I narrow this down? Like, it was just amazing. But he gave me. So I'm just probably won't give everything that he gave me. And again, it will be the Holy Ghost that leads, but, truly, like I said, an honor and a privilege. So speaking on God's promises is his covenant and agreement between God and his people. Okay. Which the promises that God has made to us. And God has made many promises in his word. Like I said, starting from Genesis, his first promises, and one thing that always resonates in my spirit is that the Old Testament is concealed and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Meaning that the Old Testament is really the revelation of what the New Testament is. So right now we're just going to kind of speak on just really some of the people that God had made a covenant with. So God preserved the world through, and it's interesting because, again, you know, there was a covenant that God gave to many, but the main four that God gave the covenant to was Noah, Abraham, Moses, and David, and of course, Jesus. So the covenant preserved through the world through Noah, and like I said, I'm not going to expound so much on the covenant for each one. I'll just kind of give a synopsis on each one. The covenant that God preserved for the world through Noah initiated through the redemption of Abraham, which established the nation of Israel through Moses, and promised an eternal shepherd king through David, and then fulfilled all his covenant through Jesus Christ. And the amazing thing about it is that the covenant all goes back to Jesus Christ. When he started from the beginning with Abraham, with Noah, it all was just the manifestation of Jesus Christ and the fulfillment in him and through him. So one of the things that I always look back, the promises when I look back at the Israelites, how they wandered, how the Hebrews just wandered through, Egypt, through the wilderness for 40 years. And I was just like, wow, God. Sometimes that's us who are in the wilderness, that we are continuing, that God has promised. We're not standing on God's word, but we continue to go through things in life, not trusting God and his promises and standing on his promises, standing on his word. And I feel like sometimes we're like those Hebrews that are just going through over and over and over again, leaving Egypt and trying to get to the promised land, which is the promised land is through Jesus. So right now what I'm going to do is just kind of go through some scriptures that God laid on my heart that he gave me as I was studying just some of the promises of God. And forgive me if I go fast. When I get nervous, I go fast. So tell me just to slow down, and I will slow down, okay? So the first one we're going to go through is Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 3. So if you all want to kind of go to Deuteronomy, and if not, you can listen as well. So Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 3. All the commandments which I have commanded thee this day should be yea observed to do that yea may live and multiply and go in the possesses of the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all which the Lord had led thee these days for 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. And thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that the man that not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord, doeth man live. So again, that was God's promise that if we humbled and trusted him, even from the beginning, that he would fulfill what he said he would fulfill. And the amazing thing about it is that even those in the Old Testament didn't understand what the fulfillment of Jesus Christ was. But God was already speaking to them. And there were certain ones that did listen, like Caleb, for instance. Caleb had no doubt. Caleb listened, and he knew the promise of the Lord. So he was one of those that actually did make it to the promised land because of his obedience, because of him trusting the Lord. One of my favorites is Deuteronomy 31 and 8. We'll go ahead and turn there real quick. And the Lord, he is it that do go before thee, that he will be with thee, and he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. So right there, God is telling us, I will be with you. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, I'm going to be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. So even that promise right there from the beginning. And yet sometimes life gets overwhelming and sometimes we go through things, but those are just trials that God allows us to go through to build our faith and trust in him, to see that, okay, Lord, that you're still in control. You're in control of this. One thing I do want to go back, and God is really blessed, is just speaking about Noah. As I spoke about the covenant of those that God had, had gave the covenant with. We're going to go to Genesis 6 and 9. So again, kind of what we're going to do is kind of go through Genesis through Revelation. Within the time that I have. So I'll be quick with it, but just know, God has something. Like I said, he gave me so much, and I'm just like, Lord, where do I go? So we're just going to go with what he's given. Genesis 6 and 9, and these are the generations of Noah was just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. So again, it speaks about how God, how Noah walked with God. He trusted him, that's where we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to that place where we could just trust God completely. But it's not always easy, Genesis 12 and 1-3, we're going to speak of Abraham. Genesis 12, 1-3. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get out of the country and from the kindred of from the father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and then in all the families and all the earth. So right there, God was telling Abraham, that was his promise, that you trust me, and I will bless the nation. And Abraham understood that. He understood that. And again, the promises of God are yea and amen. Even from the beginning, That was his obedience to God. Yea and amen, Lord. Okay, Lord, I trust you. And not many were like that. Another one I want to expound on is Moses. Let's go to Exodus 24 and 8. And it reads, "And Moses took the blood of and sprinkled it on the people and said, 'Behold, the blood of the covenant with the Lord has made with you concerning all these words.'" So again, he was talking to the Hebrews. He was letting them know, like, hey, God has already got it taken care of. You just got to trust him. Like, this is what his words are saying to you. But yet, the Hebrews were still, you know, they didn't believe what Moses and Aaron were trying to tell them. They kept, you know, doubting God. Like, Lord, okay, what are we going to eat? God gave them food. God gave them meat. But they still didn't trust him. And God's like, what else do I have to do? And sometimes that's us. Sometimes God would give it to us, but it's not always in the form that we thought it would be. It's not always in the natural, in the way that we would think it would be. And sometimes we got to go back and think about some of the promises that God has made us back then. So my thing is that if God did it before, what makes it think he's not going to do it again now? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing has changed. Nothing will change. He is always the same. It's we who do not trust him. And this is where we ask God to help me, Lord. I pray, Lord, increase my faith and trust in you, Lord. Increase my desire, my zeal, my hunger, my thirst for your righteousness, for your word, the truth of your word, every day, Lord. It's just having faith as a mustard seed and knowing that he will do it. But again, it's not always in the form that we think that we should. But this is when we go back to his promises, because he's promised these things. Even in yay and amen. Let's go back and before I jump over to David, I'm sorry, my mouth is really dry. As you guys all know, I talk a lot, so. But even more so, it's a blessing. This is the first time he's got me kind of quiet, and I guess that's a first for everything. But one thing we have to remember is that we all receive the promises of God. And perhaps sometimes, you know, he was saying in your life, you know, that you still ask him for, like, Lord, are you still going to do this? Lord, are you still going to do this? You know, so I can say for myself, you know, I can be transparent. Sometimes I have to confess that sometimes maybe, you know, I forget. And I think for all of us, I think we forget who our identity is in Christ. And once we go back to remember our identity in Christ, that's an encouragement enough to know to stand on God's promises. Once we remember who our identity is, it is not of us, you know. And sometimes in between challenges, you know, sometimes we find our places in life of being, you know, unbelieving, insecure. And that's nothing but the enemy, you know. He wants to have these doubts. He wants us to not to depend on God. He wants us to doubt what God has promised in our lives, you know, that he that begun a good work in us will complete to the coming of Jesus Christ, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, that he that begun a good work in us will complete it until the coming of Jesus Christ, that I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and expected end. Those are the promises that God gave us, are they not? So how should we doubt that? And sometimes it's hard, though, you know. I know sometimes every situation we face is truly an opportunity for us to grow in faith and to trust God and his promises. And that's the way God has had me to come and see every situation in my life, is to build my faith and trust in him and to stand on his promises. And sometimes we have to pray the word over ourselves to remember who we are and his God's promises for us. So one thing I was reading, as I was studying, you know, I was reading about Joshua and how he and the mighty man marched, you know, around the walls of Jericho, you know, at the command of God until the cities fell. So let's go to Joshua 6:1-2, and it's just so funny. Let's see here. And I say funny per se, just, you know, how God's promises are, even back then. you know, how Joshua and his mighty man were just not trusting God. But yet, God still came in. Joshua 1, 1 through 2. Hold on. Probably should label these to be a lot faster, but that's okay. Thank you, God, for wisdom to know where I'm going. Okay, so Joshua 6, 1 through 2. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given thee thy hand of Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." And Joshua, and the thing was, Joshua was trying to think to go through the city. Like, okay, now how are we going to go through this city? You know, he's sitting there thinking. But then God came to Jericho and he spoke these words. And he's given, you know, and he was basically telling Joshua, like, look, I'm going to help you to get through this. But you have to first know that if you're going to go into the battle, that it's going to be good. That you got to trust me, even in the battle. So that's even a battle of life. That's in battle of trials that we go through. So God spoke this promise in the past tense as if it's already happened or it was delivered. But God had the victory. And the victory had already been won. Because why? Because God guarantees victory. He guarantees victory. So perhaps God would promise... One thing I've noticed is that sometimes God has not, you know, had things happen in the natural. And so, again, we begin to doubt because we feel like it hasn't come to pass. And God's promises, but we have to remember that God's promises cannot be broken. And, again, it goes back to his promises are yea and amen. And one thing I noticed also is just doing the study, there's like over 3,000, if not more, of yea and amens in the book of the Word. So again, if there are 3,000 yea and amen in this word, and we stand on this word and his promises, how do we not trust him for that? How do we not stand on his promises for that when it says it in his word? So there are some more scriptures I want to go through real quick. So of course, I don't know about you, but Romans is one of my favorite books. Just because it just speaks so profound on, you know, God's promises. But, I mean, it's all through the Word. But Romans, for me, is one that really stands on my heart a lot. When I'm going through things, I really stand on that. So, first, in my favorite, Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So when I think about that, I think about the promises and that promise that God said, that we know that all things, not some things, not little things, but all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And I think about the promise that God gave me at the age of 33. 33 meaning God's promise. That's when I was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. At 33. That was God's promise to me. That he will be with me until the end. And I've known that for so long. But for some reason this morning, it just resonated in my spirit. And I just had to rejoice and say, thank you, Lord, for your promise that no matter what, that I will be with you into eternity. But we all have that same promise. We all have that same promise. We just have to walk in it and believe it. Whew. Another good one's Romans 8, 37 through 39. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So nothing, right there in his promise, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There is nothing. Nothing. Isn't that beautiful? That there is absolutely nothing. There is nothing we can do. There is nothing that can come against us that will separate us from the love of God. Nothing. It is sealed. It is done. Through Christ. Through Christ. But sometimes we have to go back to his word to remember his promises. Because, again, it's first natural and then spiritual. We're flesh. We're going to think of things in the flesh. We're going to walk in the flesh. But yet, the spirit man comes through. When you begin to pray and to understand who you are in Christ, understand your identity in Christ, is even more when you're able to say yes and amen. Another scripture I want to go to is Philippians 4:19. If you want to turn there with me. And like I said, I probably won't be able to get through all of these, but like I said, there's just so many. And the thing about it is, like, you know, as I was studying, as the Lord gave utterance, there was just, like, in every single book, there's a promise. In every single book. Every single book. And it's like, okay, Lord, which one? Which one? But there is a promise in every single book. This book. And I'm like, Lord, thank you. Like, you have to remind me, like, my promises are yay and amen. And I was thinking about that. I was telling Pastor Jesse on Sunday, I'm like, as he was bringing forth the word, I'm like, God, you were so all in my study. Like, God was just, and I'm like, thank you, Lord. But it was just the promises of God. Philippians 4:19. Let's see, let's go there. I said I should have these marked, sorry. Okay. Whew, thank you, Jesus. I think this Bible, so forgive me, this Bible is kind of old. So there's a few pages that are sticking together. So it's like, okay, I'm like the enemy. Rebuke you, enemy, in the name of Jesus. Philippians 4:19, and it reads, but my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Again, his word is saying he will supply all our needs. There is nothing we have to ask for because it's all here. He's provided for us. We just got to trust him. But again, don't think about it in the way that we wanted to see it because it's already done. Ephesians 2:8, which I absolutely love this one. Actually, I love it all. What about the word of God do you not love? I mean, really. For by grace you are saved through faith, and it is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So when you start to question, you got to remember, we're saved by grace. Through faith. Thank you, Lord. Oh, another one of my favorites. We'll go to Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And I'll go ahead to 2. Set your affections, which is our minds on the things that are above and not on the things on the earth. So we got to set our minds on the things that are above. Because this place here is temporary. This is not our home. We're here temporarily. We're just occupying until a return of our bridegroom. So this is not our permanent place. So if we continue to look up the things that are above rather than the things that are here on this earth, that's when you have a little bit more peace and say, okay, Lord, I'm just occupying. Until the coming of my bridegroom, I'm just occupying. I love it. I love it. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself should descend from heaven with shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That right there is just telling us that we're all going to ascend together with him. But taking heed to the voice, which is that first trumpet. That's the sound we want to listen for, that first trumpet. Because I'm looking at the time. I want Pastor Jesse to give me the eye. I love you, Pastor Jesse. But I definitely, just like I said, there's just so much the Lord has given me. There's a couple other scriptures I'm going to go over and just some things I just kind of want to expound on. Another one is James 1 and 12. Does not want to go. Okay. Actually, you know what? I want to go to Hebrews 3 and 14 instead. I'm sorry, saints. Just bear with me. Hebrews 3 and 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. He's telling us right there. Hold on steadfast to the end. That's all we got to do. Hold steadfast to the end. Because he's coming. So there is no need to beg God for anything to fulfill his promise. Because it's already done. Right here. It's already done. We don't need to plead or ask over in desperation. Because Once he hears our prayers, he gives us desires of our hearts according to his will. And I think sometimes we have to remember that, you know, people like, he says he gives desires of his heart, but according to his will. If it's his will, then yes, he will give you desires of your heart. But he still gives it to you. But again, it's not always in the way that we think it is. For we are not forgotten children, where we have to beg for crumbs for the master table. We are his beloved, the children of the Father, and all that the Lord has been given to us through his Son, Jesus. If the Holy Spirit has spoken a promise over you, you have to know, even if it's a new job, a friendship, a relationship, finances, whatever it may be, if it's God's will, his promises are yea and amen, and he will fulfill it. So, as I get to close here, instead of thinking for the time, what is in the supernatural will manifest is in the natural. Thinking for the gift that you will receive. But I know what God has promised me, and I stand on that. The Lord has promised you so much in his word. There are thousands of promises you can claim because you are his very own. We are his very own. These promises are yes and amen in Jesus. And these are for every believer who believes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are always yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us unto the glory of God. Amen.